Welcome to the Muscle Expert Podcast with Ben Pakulski, one of the world's top professional bodybuilders, an expert on human performance and mindset mastery. Ben dives deep to deliver the strategies of the top experts to upgrade your body, mind, muscle, strength, performance, biochemistry, and how to become the upgraded modern man. Join us on BenPakulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.
And today's podcast is brought to you by ATP Labs. We've just released a brand new product that you guys are going to love. It's called MyoPrime. And this is just a creatine-based product with some ATP and HMB. And the reason I love this product is it's kind of an add-on to your current pre-workout. So you guys know I'm not a big stimulant person, but I am a big focus person. And creatine really helps add to that focus product that I always take. So you guys know I'm a big fan of the GF, which is the growth factor by ATP, which is primarily just alpha-GPC and tyrosine, driving up some dopamine and acetylcholine in your brain. But if you want to add the pump factor and the cellular energy to that so that you can have the fuel you need to fuel your workouts, then I highly suggest you add MyoPrime. And if you think I'm cool, I think you're cool too. So if you use the code BEN10, B-E-N and the number 10, 10, you get 10% off this month only. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to a very special live edition of the Muscle Expert Podcast. I'm here with my very good friend and business coach and mentor, Bedros Koulian. Dude, I'm happy to have you in my house.
I am happy to be here in your house, and I am happy that you kicked my butt in the gym earlier.
We did a little workout. Bedros got a little glimpse into the muscle intelligence lifestyle, the muscle intelligence way of training. And obviously what we do is different, man. And yeah. I'm glad you got a chance to kind of dive into that because, you know, I talk a lot online and people are like, oh, yeah, whatever. It's not really that big of a deal, but you feel it, man. It's different.
Actually, it's a way big of a deal. Like, I've been a personal trainer for 20 years, owned gyms, and owned one of the nation's fastest growing fitness franchise right now. And I've met all types of trainers, and the way you train and the genius that you bring to a workout session is completely different than what anyone's ever experienced. I guarantee it.
Thanks, man. So one of the things we, you know, not that I want to get down this route, but one of the things we run into is people don't realize how much of an opportunity they have to progress their body just by improving execution, right? Everybody wants the supplement. Everybody wants the new program, the hardest program. They want to crush it. They want to be inspired. I'm like, man, none of that shit matters. All you need to do is improve these very few small, simple things. And the reality is it's just not common knowledge, right? And that's all we teach is we've taken this really, what people think to be this really complex topic and made it easy.
You know what? Can I ask you something? I know we're kind of going off topic, but now I'm speaking for the audience here because I'm also a fan of your podcast. So I'm kind of like being interviewed, but I'm also a fan. So while I've got you here, let me be the voice of your audience for a second.
Why don't you interview me, Bedros? Buddy, welcome to Bedros Koulian's Muscle Expert Podcast.
How often do your fans get to
redo
interview
the intro.
Right. Right. Hey, I'm Bedros Koulian, and I'm here. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, man.
No, but seriously, think about this. People want to buy the supplements. They want to buy new workout programs. But really, the intelligence that you gave saves so much time, not only in building the muscle, but injury prevention. How many injuries have put us back? I told you about the hamstring tear, right? Like, training the way you just put me through, like, I can't imagine ever tearing a hamstring again.
So here's the cool thing about what we do, man, is if small amount of time going through the way we train, and for the rest of your life, you've got a skill set. It's like learning to read. Once you've got it, you always have it. If you do a workout, you know, after the 6-week program, it's gone. Like, it's only as good as the next program. If you do a supplement, once you stop taking the supplement, it goes away. Yeah. But the skill set, you know, training with the muscle intelligence approach, nobody's ever going to take it away from you. For the rest of your life, you feel completely empowered to be able to change any part of your body. It's not, there's no such thing as weak body parts anymore, right? It's just like, hey, man, the reason you have a weak body part, or I used to have weak body parts, is your body just doesn't put tension through those body parts. And all you got to do is learn how to manipulate the exercise to now, or choose a different exercise, or how you do it, or whatever it happens to be for you, to now put tension through that muscle. And then, and we talked about, eventually, then you can start working hard. But it doesn't make sense to work hard. Running as fast as you can in the wrong direction isn't going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah.
So that's the disconnect, man. So we're going to give you a skill set you have for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to thank you for that. And I want to also let your audience know that you're just amazing at what you do. But they already know that. So we're not here about you. We're here for me, damn it. So
underneath the table, I'm sliding Bedros a check right now. That personal endorsement, you know. But yeah, all kidding aside, guys, Bedros is a legend when it comes to building businesses, particularly in the fitness industry. He's been doing it for almost 20 years now. Success after success, after failure, after success. We all have failures and we all learn from our failures. And A lot of us are living that reality right now, is struggling this uphill battle in the fitness industry. So a lot of my listeners have fitness business, a lot of them don't. But anyone living this entrepreneurial life, whether you've been fitness or whether you just be in any business, we all have struggles, man. We all have mountains to climb, and everybody has their own journey to live, and ultimately journey to fight, for lack of a better term. Speaking specifically to the fitness entrepreneurs, man, what are the things, this is a very open and broad question, and I want you to kind of go wherever you want to go. What are the things that you see that most people are doing wrong, that if they just change this one thing, they'd see the needle move?
Yeah. So the biggest thing I see people doing wrong in the fitness space, and it doesn't matter if they own a gym, a boot camp, a CrossFit, if they do online coaching, nutrition programming, is they're shooting a shotgun approach. They're being a generalist, right? And I'll give you an example. My father-in-law, he went to Harvard Medical School, and he's a general practitioner. He's a physician in Seattle. Makes about $120,000 a year. But he went to Harvard. His friend, who graduated from Harvard as well, is a thoracic surgeon. He's a specialist. Because he's a specialist, he makes $640,000 a year. So the difference between a generalist and a specialist in that world is about $500,000, $500,000 a year in salary. Now, it's not that he's a lesser doctor, it's just when you're a generalist, you can't command as much. So my challenge to everyone is become a specialist. Who's your niche market? Go narrow and deep instead of shallow and broad. And that one thing, just that one thing, because then you can market. For example, I market to personal trainers, not to Pilates instructors, yoga instructors, spin cycle instructors. And I look at my avatar as the 34-year-old male who's opened up a gym. He's struggling. He signed a lease. He leased equipment. And now he's going, oh, shit, what do I do? I don't know how to make this work. That's when they do a Google search and they find me. They get on my email list. All of my videos, posts, emails, I speak to that 34-year-old male. Because I'm so clear who my avatar is, my niche market, I can speak clearly and speak to his pain, fears, frustrations, and desires. And so if you can go narrow and deep, you can get your avatar's pain, fear, frustration, desires, and speak to them. But if you go general, then you go, well, I train men and women 8 to 80, and I do general fat loss and muscle building and injury prevention and postpartum. And what does that mean? Become the specialist, and that'll move the needle more than any one thing.
It's a hard thing to do, right? And we've all lived that life where we're trying to make money. We're like, oh man, well, I know I can do a good job over there. I know I can do a good job over there. So I end up diversifying myself just to make ends meet. And you get caught in this double-edged sword where you make enough money to get by, things start to grow, and then you're kind of caught in the middle and you don't know which way to go because you're spread thin.
Yeah, then you feel like you have to keep all the plates spinning, right, at that point. So you go, well, I got five plates spinning, and you're like the plate spinner at the circus where you're always having to give attention to five different things.
Whereas I always say that I'm working in a circus, man. I'm spinning all these plates.
Right?
Exactly
what I feel. So what if I can just come through and say, hey, which plate brings you the most money? Most people, and it doesn't always have to be money. Which plate brings you the most money, or which plate gives you the most meaning,
right?
It's usually money or meaning. There are only two things that we work towards, are money or meaning. That's it.
Joy.
And so if you can identify what gives me the most money or meaning, I'm gonna knock down all the other plates and go focus on this one plate. And you'll be a master at spinning that forever. Yeah.
Beautiful. Focus. That's kind of the common theme that we hear in business, and we hear great friend Craig Valentine bringing that up day in, day out. Focus. How do people learn to focus, man? So for me, until I had a clarity of vision, clarity of purpose, I couldn't focus. Yeah. What is your advice out there for people who, are trying to start a business or maybe in a business and having a hard time focusing?
Well, it's like anything else. For example, if I take muscle building advice from you and then from Muscle and Fitness Magazine and then from some other online guy that I find, if I'm getting a coaching from many different places, I'm trying your workout, his workout, that workout, and they might even be contradicting each other and conflicting. And so I need to focus on the one coach that I trust. Where muscle building is concerned, you're that guy that I trust. And so the same with business coaching. People come to me and they go, hey, I want to hire you as a business coach. And oh, by the way, I've got so-and-so and so-and-so as a business coach. I go, great, when you're done with them, then you can come work with me. But we're not going to work together at the same time, because then half the questions you're going to ask me on our coaching calls is, well, Bedros, you asked me to do this, but they told me to do X, and it contradicts what you said. So now I'm having to justify why I'm giving you advice. And so you're out of focus. You're out of focus anytime you follow many things. And so typically, entrepreneurs fall out of focus when the idea fairy comes to them. Entrepreneurs are very creative people. Like, you're a very freaking creative person. You need 10 more lifetimes to execute all the business ideas that you've told me. And all of them can be successful. You just don't have enough lifetimes under your belt.
I'm working on it, man.
Right?
I'm extending
Right, exactly. Right. Got about 400 years to go here. Right? So with that, then, we have to be so disciplined. So focus comes from discipline to say, thank you, Idea Fairy. Because I'm creative, the Idea Fairy keeps coming to me with ideas. But I'm going to be disciplined enough to say no thank you to the things that aren't going to get executed in this lifetime, so that I can focus on the one thing or maybe two things that will get executed properly and see it all the way through. So focus comes from discipline and saying no to the idea fairy and trusting in one avenue, one coach, one mentor, one outcome.
So in business, we, like you said, we have opportunities. We have many different facets of the business. You know, there could be growth. There could be the day-to-day mechanics of the business. There could be management of staff and processes. And this is probably an impossible question to answer, but people are seeing all these potential bottlenecks in their business. You know, everyone's thinking about, I want to grow my social media. I want to build my staff. I want to build my vision. I want to increase my product offering. Do you have a logical sequence that you suggest people kind of go through as far as someone's out there sitting at home right now going, I really want to increase my personal training business?
Oh, my God. I do have the answer for this, because just a couple weeks ago, when you were there at Fitness Business Summit in San Diego, we had the social media panel. Ben, we had the social media panel up on stage, and it was like Michael Hearn, Amanda Bucci, Brandon Carter, and somebody else. Oh, Lori Harder, right? Up there. And people were lining up in the audience to ask questions. And one guy was asking a question. He said, you know, so I'm trying to build my Instagram following so that I can get at least 20,000 followers, because I feel like I don't have the Instagram following I need to be successful. And he was asking a question to one of the panelists, and I was just sitting there with the mic on stage. And I had to interrupt the panelist. And I said, hey, by the way, can I ask you, how many leads do you get per week or per month into your fitness business? And he said, oh, like 2 or 3 leads a month. I go, yeah, so how much money are you making? He goes, about $40,000 a year, barely scraping by. I go, you can't focus on followers and likes until you have leads that you can turn into paying clients. And so the natural process, see, the ego says, well, the more followers I have, the better I'll feel, right? Because I want to have over 100,000 followers like Ben does. Well, that's great, but I'm not going to focus on followers without focusing on my finance first. And so leads trump likes any given day of the week. And so I told the guys, look, until you're making $88,333 a month, which is $100,000 a year, you are not allowed to even put up one post on Instagram. He goes, then how do I get leads? I go, well, like the rest of us got leads 8 years ago when there was no Instagram. You go to Facebook, you buy traffic, you ask your clients to give you referrals. You go to local businesses and you do lunch and learns, and you invite the people who work there to come and work out there for 6 weeks. They get results. They're going to tell the customers of that business that they're getting results. Oh my God, I never thought of that. So we get so caught up into the social media space of building our ego that we forget to build our profit centers. And at the end of the day, listen, followers feed the ego, but profits feed the family. And I'm more interested in feeding my family.
Beautiful, man. Ego plays a big role in business, and especially in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
Can you speak about how you were able to, you know, break away from that dopamine addiction to likes? Is it just having, you know, obviously the driving factor of having success driven by, you know, this big end result is probably the answer. But for everyone living in this day-to-day addiction to, you know, the mm-hmm. scroll up or scroll down, you know, addiction to social media, what's the way to break past that day-to-day monotony, day-to-day addiction?
Well, you know what? You're 100% right about the addiction piece, because I read a study that when we go and we refresh our Facebook or Instagram following to see who commented, who liked, and who followed, right? That's called variable response. It is the same addictive mechanism in our brain that when we go to a casino in Las Vegas and we pull the handle. It's the same part of the brain lights up when we do this to see who's liking and following, whether we're going to win that $1 million or not. And so that is a dopamine hit, because you do get a reward, just like the rat gets a cheese when it scratches at the right door.
Right.
You get a reward, you maybe win $20 on a slot machine that inspires you to Well, I got a dopamine hit. It feels good. Let me try another $20. Oh shit, I lost 100, but let me just try another 100 and win that back. Same thing applies here. And so the way you go away from those dopamine hits or the variable response mechanism is you go, all right, there's another hormone, another chemical in the body that also feels good as dopamine. It's called serotonin. And serotonin is the long-term feel-good hormone. I'll give or chemical, and I'll give you an example. When I speak from stage, people give a standing ovation. Dude, that feels good. Like, there's nothing more amazing. Like, you came and spoke at Fitness Business Summit a few years ago. People give you the applause. You get off stage, you're charged, you feel good. All the dopamine hits and the receptor sites are eating it up. That's great. But then when I'm in the car driving away or flying away from that particular place, I kind of start falling into a slump because the dopamine goes away. I'm like, man, that high felt good.
Right.
What I want is the serotonin hit. Serotonin is there for the long term, and that comes from building a business that's going to make a bigger impact than you're able to make from one speech, one talk, one product, like a legacy, right? So serotonin, which is the other feel-good chemical, comes from building legacy. Dopamine comes from giving a really good presentation where you move people's emotions, but it's not lasting. Serotonin is lasting. So it goes back to, what is your purpose in life? You know, do you want to make money by training people, by coaching them in nutrition, in their mindset and lifestyle, in their business? Whatever your thing is, latch on and focus on that and build a legacy business where you'll have constant hits of serotonin instead of a variable response of dopamine.
As you progress through your entrepreneurial journey, you go from, you know, checking your Instagram and seeing those variable response to checking your dashboard, you know, whether it be ClickBank and whatever, to see your daily reports.
Yeah.
Is that where people like, so, and then I feel, you tell me if I'm wrong, but to truly create an empire like you talk about, does it end there? Is it just about checking your day-to-day metrics, or does it then have to transcend to another level of, you know, getting excited about creating the big picture? Like, so you guys understand what we're talking about. If you're on Instagram, you're getting these variable response dopamine hits, then as an entrepreneur, you start seeing money coming in, and every morning you wake up and you check your dashboard and it goes, hey, you made 10 grand today, you made 50 grand today, you made 500 bucks today. That becomes addictive.
Right.
You tell me, is that where it ends? Is that going to be the same thing every day? Or for someone like yourself who's literally building a multi-hundred million dollar, potentially billion dollar empire, what's the next transcendence beyond this day-to-day metrics?
Good question. Here's the reality. We're all going to get addicted to the device. We're all going to get addicted. Whether you're checking followers, likes, and comments, which do not feed your family, or you go and check your dashboard to see how much money do I have coming in this week or came today while I was sleeping, right? I'd rather be addicted to the dashboard that shows me how much money came in, how much more recurring revenue I built, and how much more impact I'm having on people's lives than checking likes, leads, and followers to see if people like me or not. Like, I don't give a crap if they like me or not. I give a crap whether I can make an impact in people's lives that's lasting and that I can feed my family and leave a legacy with my kids. And so the dashboard, guess what? It solves the third world problem. Most entrepreneurs, the third world problem that you have is, I'm a one man or woman show and I'm burning the candle at both ends. I can't afford the lease on the building right now. I have more inventory than I can sell right now. That's a third world problem. Like, we need that solved. So getting addicted to your dashboard in the immediate is important. But then you start developing first world problems. Like, you have first world problems. I have first world problems. Okay, I need to scale this thing bigger because I know I'm put on this planet to impact 10 million people every morning. So having 614 Fit Body Bootcamp locations for me is not enough. I need to have 2,500 locations by the year 2022 so that we can impact 10 million lives every morning through workouts, nutrition, and a positive mindset. That's what we deliver at Fit Body Bootcamp. And so, but in the beginning, all I cared is solving my third world problems. How do I make sure that the franchise can stay open? How do I hire my first couple of employees because I'm burning the candle at both ends? How do I pay the lease on my building? Then all of a sudden it went to first world problems. Oh man, we're hitting the Inc. 5000 list, Entrepreneur 500 list. How do I make a bigger impact? So there is the addiction, I change the focus of the addiction to the dashboard, solve the third world problems, which is the problems of money and people who can work for you, and then focus on the long term, which is leaving a legacy.
One of my favorite things about hanging out with Bedros is an attitude of success and thinking big. And one of the things I want you to talk about that I think is a really important thing for people to realize who own a business or starting a business is fighter jets versus crop dusters.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You're going to get me to rant here. So I believe there's two types of people on this planet, right? Two types of people. We talk about this all the time. We all have crop duster genetics. And here's what I mean. If there's four of us right now in this room, and let's say the four of us are fighter jets or fighter jet pilots, and we're about to get into our fighter jets and go to war. And all of a sudden, a fifth person walks in, and he's wearing overalls, and he's got a tooth missing, and he's got, hey, I got my crop duster parked out there. I'm ready to go to war. Now, what would happen if the four fighter jets are flying in a squadron and with this crop duster? We would have to slow down to stay in formation because the crop duster can't keep up. Do you know what happens when a fighter jet slows down? It falls out of the air because it doesn't have the aerodynamics of a regular plane. It has to go fast and it has to pivot and it has to shoot missiles and go out and dominate and conquer and then kill and come back. That's what a fighter jet mentality is. You have to hunt and you have to eat. You have to have claws and fangs. A crop duster just needs to stay in the fields and dust the corn. And so when we are surrounded by someone who's crop duster mentality, for example, the example I give in crop duster mentality, people who hit the snooze button every morning because they value 10 more minutes of mediocre sleep over waking up and dominating their path. They skip their workout in the morning and they say, I'll work out at night, but then they don't work out at night and they go, I'll work out tomorrow. Tomorrow becomes next week becomes next month becomes next year, and they're fatter, more sloppy, lazy, tired, fatigued, negative, right? That's a crop duster mentality. A fighter jet mentality is you wake up when your alarm goes off, you never hit snooze because you value your purpose on this planet. You know your time is ticking on this planet. You're clear on your vision. You have a great team around you who's ready to execute, and you are relentless at getting to the outcome because you know that the outcome means you have greater meaning, purpose, impact. And at the end of the day, we're all like German Shepherd dogs. If we don't have some kind of purpose, like my dog, she's part German Shepherd, part Mastiff. If I don't wake up and play with her every morning, throw the ball 10 times and Cookie needs to go get the ball 10 times, she will fall into a depression. And so most humans, if they stay in this crop duster way of mind, they fall into a depression, which is also why, Ben, I believe the rate at which doctors prescribe antidepressants and mood-altering drugs right now is four times higher than it was just 5 years ago. And it's because more people are fucking around on social media and looking for dopamine hits and doing less serotonin-based stuff. Fighter jets focus on serotonin. Crop dusters just want to get approval. So they just want to take that perfect selfie and that nice little angle and keep coming back and looking for how many more people like it, how many more people like it. Who gives a crap? Who gives a crap? So the fighter jet mentality is relentless, mission-focused, outcome-driven. Crop duster mentality is, I'd rather sleep, be lazy, and make excuses. And really, if you look at it, your job is to become a crop duster and to only surround, or become a fighter jet and to only surround yourself with fighter jets. And when a crop duster enters your airspace, shoot them down.
I think we need to proceed with a fuck yeah. I like that, man. Getting pumped up. That's amazing. So one of the things I always talk about when I'm teaching people is this transcendence of life. And I think you're talking about that is, in everything in life, you have this, many people have these very short-term aspirations. For me, it was I want to accumulate as much muscle as possible. For some people, it's I want to accumulate as many fans as possible. You get it, and you get to the top of this mountain that you set for yourself, the proverbial mountain. You get there, and you go, God, this sucks. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. This is lonely. And then you start transcending and realizing, oh, there's more on the other side of this mountain. I can start going. And then the next mountain is much, much bigger. And it sounds like that's the reality you're living. Is if you, yes. As an entrepreneur, you're setting the goal on that big, the summit. You're not setting the goal on these little foothills.
Right, right. And the reality is, even with that summit,
there's another one.
There's another one.
There's about 10 more.
I used to think the same thing. Like, right. Once I get there, I'm done. I've realized, that's the Instagram post I put up today. Life comes to us in phases, man. And those phases have darkness and light. And those phases have ups and downs. And there's always another summit and another peak because I really believe we're put on this planet to do something big and to constantly evolve.
Yeah.
I call it the never peak mentality. Like, never peak, your best is yet to come. So you think there's no other summit because you haven't been to the top of this one. You get to the top of this one, you can see over it, and you're like,
oh, there's another one over there.
Oh my God.
But it's way over there, but I'm gonna go do it anyway.
I gotta go do it anyways.
Yeah, those are the fighter jets.
Those are the fighter jets who go, I'm gonna go do it. The crop duster goes, oh man, there's another summit. Like, It's all perspective, right? The fighter jet goes, oh my God, I got to get to that summit because what's on the other side? Because you see enough summits, you realize there's always going to be more.
It's, and nobody's ever been on that one. I wonder what it looks like from up there.
I see pure snow. I don't see footprints. No one's ever been. My footprints are going to go there first. The crop duster goes, oh my God, I thought I made it. I didn't. How depressing. Well, it's all in perspective and how you frame it to yourself. I like to frame it as more opportunity. Others will frame it as, ah, what a disadvantage.
Do you think that mentality comes from, why don't you tell me where that mentality comes from? So, you know, I talk about, you know, and Andy Frisella talks about this stuff too, his daily disciplines and winning the day.
Yeah.
And I think that is, your attitude has come from winning, right? You get this attitude of like, there's no such thing as turning back. That's where I'm going. I don't give a shit who gets in the way. I don't care what obstacle is there. I'm going to crush it. I'm going to, fangs are coming out. How do people get off their, you know, Prozac deficiency lifestyle and start actually creating this attitude of crushing it every day, man? Because you're doing it. You live that life. I know Bedros very, very well. He lives his life. He's not put on an act for you guys. You know, we all go through ups and downs like we talked about, man, but you're living this day to day. How do you find that is the best way to start creating that habit? Because, I mean, we must admit it's a habit. Winning and success is a habit.
Small wins. I didn't wake up one day in 2009 and go, I want 2,500 fit body bootcamp locations. I just go, you know what? I've been coaching and consulting all these personal trainers. I see all the problems that boot camps have that are outdoors. What if I created a unified brand and brought the boot camp indoor? That's all I thought about. I didn't think of number of locations, how much impact we're going to have. And so people think that they have to come up like, I got to find my purpose first before I do it. No, you don't. Just take the step in the general direction, which is forward.
One step,
small wins. And so I say to people, if you're like depressed, you're in the dark place, and I've been there before, I've been there in a very dark, dark, dark place, go into your garage and do 100 burpees. 100 burpees, because you realize, oh my gosh, I controlled my body, I did 100, and I actually did this. When I was in my darkest place in 2011, I went into my garage and I did 100 burpees. And it took me something like 18 minutes to do because I was actually out of shape, and there was a puddle of sweat, but I finally had some sense of control. I made a decision and I did something and I accomplished 100 burpees and there was a puddle of sweat. And then guess what happened? Dopamine hit, right?
I feel good.
Well, if I did this, I wonder if I could just open up my computer and write one email to my customer list. And I hadn't emailed them for months, right? Let me just write one email. So much, we go, I gotta write 7 emails a day. I gotta do this 12 months out of the year. That's overwhelming. One burpee, 100 burpees, one email. One lead generation ad, create one product, solve one problem that society has. It's one little win after another. Just don't hit, how about this? Here's a win. Don't hit snooze tomorrow morning. Just wake up. And then the next morning, decide that you're gonna write a to-do list the night before so that when you wake up and not hit snooze, you have a to-do list of 3 to 5 things that you're gonna crush and dominate, right? All of a sudden, you're not hitting the snooze. And you've got a list of things to do instead of just wandering around aimlessly, what should I do, which then that leads us to back to social media. Let me see how much approval and validation I'm getting from the outside world. Get the approval and validation from within. So for me, discipline comes from small wins. Small wins lead to medium wins lead to bigger wins. Just like you win your morning, you win your day. You win your day, you win your week. You win the week, you win the month, you win the month, you win the year. You've won a decade.
Andy Frisella's got this brilliant book that I bought for all my staff. It's called The Power List. And it's literally the simplest notebook on the planet. It's like pick 3 things, maybe it's 5, 3 to 5 things that you can do each day. And these are your wins. And they're things that maybe you haven't done before. Maybe if you're missing your workouts, if you're missing your meals, if you're missing your meditation, set yourself up for discipline, right? And this is how I start my day. Is I suggest starting your day with 3 things that you know you need to get done to feel great about yourself.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I always say, if you can't, you must. If it's the type of thing I can't wake up early, fucking wake up early. If you can't meditate, start meditating and prove to yourself you can, because that's the winning attitude. How do I start surrounding myself with more winners? And how do I hire fighter jets?
Well, the truth of the matter is that through social media now, they're all around us. Through Facebook, through YouTube, through Instagram, they're all around you. So if someone goes, well, I can't hire Bedros Koulian, or I can't go and work out with Ben, or I can't do the Andy Frisella coaching program. All right, can you listen to his podcast? It's free.
Yeah.
It's free, and there's at least one every week.
Yeah.
Can you watch some of his training videos and go model it? It may not be as good, but it's better than what you're doing now. Can you watch some of my free YouTube videos? I only have 1,300 of them where I teach you how to run a successful business. Can you implement one thing that I teach in one of my free videos that I give out? Can you get on my email list or your email list or go to your blog or my blog or Andy's blog? And so there's so much resources, but again, people go, I'll only be successful when I hire, and then fill in the blank, Ben, Andy, Bedros, whoever. How about before you get to the point like where he's hired me, you start watching my free shit, right? Benefit from it, use it. I love when people email me and go, hey Bedros, just so you know, I've made over $100,000 a year now watching your free videos. I'm ready to join your coaching program. Where do I sign up? I love that. Versus, hey Bedros, I'm struggling. What do I do in my business? Have you watched any of my YouTube videos? Send. No, I haven't. Why don't you start there? Because this guy, and that guy have all made $100,000 from it.
Right. One of my favorite quotes is, no matter where you go, there you are. Mm. And if you can't execute now, you're not going to execute in the future. And
no.
You know, I know this as well as anybody. It's like you can always try to look for these external fixes, but the internal is always the solution.
Yeah.
I love that, man. So you've done an awesome job of building this empire. Three final tips you want to give to people that say, like, before we take some questions off our Facebook Live, three final tips you want to give to people who are looking to create their greatest business empire.
Okay, so if you're looking to create your greatest business empire, I want you to start looking at it this way. In November, I had the good pleasure of sharing the stage with Tony Robbins. And Tony Robbins was up on stage. This was at Joe Polish's Genius Network event, the annual event. Tony Robbins spoke, and then I was the next guy who was going to speak. And while I'm in the back of the room...
So he warmed up for you?
Yeah. Tony Robbins warmed up the stage.
Loosened him up.
And I was so nervous, right? Because I'm like, holy shit, I wish I would have gone like the next day.
Right?
You never want to follow Tony. But I'm getting mic'd up in the back of the room, and I'm listening to Tony speak, and he talks about that he's built for winter. And he goes, no matter what, winter's coming, and I want to be built for winter. Right? And I love that because, look, anyone can be successful. In 2004, 5, 6, even part of 2007, everyone and their mother was a real estate agent here in the United States. The reason for that is economy was booming. Even right now, everyone's in real estate, home prices. You won't go wrong buying a home. The price is going to go up. But the winter is coming, and you got to be built for winter. So one, start with the mindset of when winter comes, don't just shrivel up and die. I'm going to thrive more during winter. In fact, Gary Vaynerchuk and myself, both in 2009, so the economy crashed, unemployment went up the highest it's ever been, over 11%. Gary Vaynerchuk starts VaynerMedia. I start Fit Body Bootcamp. And as we're filming videos to sell my Fit Body Bootcamp, what was going to become the franchise, we took a little break, and my video guy goes, hey, look, I'm glad you hired me, and I see you're trying to sell this franchise, but the economy has just crashed last year. Unemployment is through the roof. Who's going to buy your franchise? And I said, his name is Rob. I said, Rob, money didn't disappear. It just exchanged hands. I'm going to find out who's got the money, and I'm going to sell them my franchise in exchange for them making an impact in the community they serve. And so winter is going to come again, and it's going to come again. And if you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, we're probably going to experience 3 to 5 more winters. Be built for winter, not just summer. Anyone can thrive in the summer. Be built for winter, number one. Number two is when you don't have resources, get resourceful. You can't hire the coach, listen to his podcast, watch his videos. Because if you just get stuck in this mindset, well, I don't have the resources, so I can't do it, you're really calling yourself a loser. And I don't think anyone outwardly would look in the mirror and go, I'm a loser. So you don't have resources, get resourceful. And the third and final thing is what says right on my hat is for everyone, man or woman, it's time to man up. People need to man up. And in my book, Man Up, I define man up this way. Stop making excuses, take control of your circumstances, and rise to your potential. That's it. Stop making excuses, take control of the situation that you're in, and rise to your potential. It's time to man up, human up. We are at the top of the food chain as humans, yet you look at how some people live and run their day and their hygiene, you think they're animals, right? And so people go, what do you mean, man up? Man up. Rise to your potential, man. Stop making excuses. What is the situation that you need to take control of? Take control and rise to your potential. And when you do, you feel a sense of satisfaction. So men and women can man up. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people need to take away from this.
Tell me about the book.
Well, the book is all about entrepreneurial leadership, is how I was struggling with my franchise in 2011, 12, 13, because while I had a great business idea, and here's another big lesson for everyone watching and listening, while I had a great business idea, I was a horrible and ineffective leader. I was passive aggressive with the way I communicated. I cared about validation and I didn't want to hurt about anyone's feelings. And so I never really gave clear communication to my employees. Instead, when they showed up a little late to work, I was passive aggressive about it. And then eventually I would snap at them about something else. And before you know it, the passive aggressive relationship went to a adversarial relationship. And soon they didn't want to start work so hard for me. They just did the bare minimum to maintain employment. Today, I don't have employees. I have a team, and a team clocks in early, not late, stays extra, is willing to travel with me, right? And it doesn't matter which team member. I can ask any of my team members to travel with me with a camera and recording device, and they'll travel with me, and they'll work weekends, and they have this mindset of the world is the opponent, we're the team, we must win. So I went from being an ineffective, poor communicating, indecisive boss to a lead from the front, servant leader who communicates well, is decisive. Doesn't mean I make all the right decisions, by the way. I make plenty of bad decisions. I just pivot quickly when I realize it was the wrong decision. It's indecision that kills businesses. So I had a great business idea, but I was so indecisive, so poor in communication, so unfocused in my vision for Fit Body Bootcamp. My team was like, or they weren't even a team. My employees were like, what the fuck do we do? Once I got clear in communication, clear in vision, and became more decisive, and actually started to lead from the front by waking up early, not hitting snooze, caring about my fitness, looking and feeling the part, showing up before them, leaving after them. And then I set the standards and I said, I expect you to do the same. Otherwise, you can't work with me. So you can't say that though, if you're not living the part, if you're not living, you know, the leader from the, who's running it from the front. And so Man Up is really about entrepreneurial leadership, but it really bleeds into every part of your life. If you can lead your business, you can lead your life, your health, your finances, your mindset.
How did you overcome the fear of communicating with people like that?
Well, I realized that the best thing I can do is give people feedback. I can't control whether they take it as criticism or not. Best thing I can do is give you feedback and say, Ben, I love how you do X. However, we need you to do Y. Do I have your commitment in doing Y? And I'm gonna expect you to say yes. Now, that's feedback because I'm paying you in exchange for your service that you're giving me. Now, if you take that as criticism from me, that's on you. But before I used to go, oh man, if Ben rolls his eyes or if Ben starts shaking his head, I hurt his feelings. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm just a nice guy. We're all nice people. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but not to the expense where now my business is failing. I was $640,000 in debt with Fit Body Bootcamp in 2011. I was in a very dark place. My marriage was on the brink of ending. I had a business partner who, when I would hear his car driving up, I would have anxiety attacks building up because I could hear, I was like a trained animal. I could hear his car and the anxiety attack would kick in because I failed to communicate. So now I communicate openly, honestly, and clearly, and I always communicate from a place of love and feedback. If it's accepted as criticism, that's on you, baby, not me.
I love it. Do we have any questions coming in from Facebook?
Absolutely.
I'm sure we got lots.
First one up from our boy Michael. What is one daily habit I can implement to develop my daily leadership ability as a young man?
The one daily habit you can develop today is to become decisive immediately. In other words, this doesn't mean like wait for a big business decision. See, the psychology doesn't know that you have a big decision to make or a little decision to make. All the mind knows, the subconscious mind knows, is that you have a decision to make. So if you're going to go out to dinner with your wife or your fiance, do I take Uber or Lyft? I don't know, make a decision. If you're gonna wear a suit or casual, I don't know, make a decision. If you're gonna have steak or seafood, make a decision. Should we see the movie first or dinner first? I don't know, make a decision. Make decisions on the little things quickly, fast, efficiently, because when you do, you're training your subconscious mind to make decisions. It doesn't know the difference between a big and small decision. So that when a big decision comes, do I invest in this business or not? Do I invest in Facebook marketing or YouTube marketing? You can make a decision quickly, and decisiveness is the only differentiating factor between successful people, well, decisiveness and communication, between successful people and unsuccessful people.
Beautiful.
All right, from Roger Padgett. Is there such thing in your world as a hybrid fighter jet crop duster?
No such thing. You're either a crop duster or you're a fighter jet. You can go back to being a crop duster a lot easier than you can go back to being a fighter jet. So you're better off, once you become a fighter jet, maintain those fucking habits. Maintain those habits.
Love it. All right. Moving on. From, ooh, I'm going to butcher this one, Stejpan Kozlovic.
Oh.
All right. In your guys' opinion, is there a market for online training for seniors?
You know what? I believe there is. And in fact, the Functional Aging Institute, Dr. Dan Ritchie and Cody Seip, have proven time and time again that Facebook is now bringing on more seniors than any other demographic. So they're bringing on more people past 55 years old than any other demographic. Why is that important? If they're bringing on the demographic, that means they're going to allow you to market to them, whether you want to train seniors who are male, seniors who are female, seniors who are in your region, or seniors globally. So if you asked me this question 3 years ago, I'd say no. Today you can, because also those same seniors use iPads, have iPhones, and can follow along workouts all day long.
As soon as my parents got iPhones, I knew something was up. The senior generation.
Yeah.
All right. What is the most important thing to do to win your morning? We kind of covered this a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, to me, to win your morning is to wake up and have a morning routine. So wake up without hitting snooze. Here's how I look at it. If you have two sets of dominoes, and this set says, the whole day is going to be, I'm going to be a loser all day. This set of dominoes says, I'm going to be a winner. Whichever first domino I hit is the one, the stack that goes. And so if I wake up and I hit snooze, I've literally hit the first domino on the stack that says, I'm going to be a loser all day. So wake up and don't hit snooze. And then when you wake up and not hit snooze, have a morning routine that's predictable so that when you're on autopilot, like for me, I wake up around 4:30 or 5 a.m. every single day. And when I do, I have my water, I shower, I have a protein shake, play with Cookie, my dog, and then go and sit on my couch and have 3 hours of uninterrupted, what I call GSD time, getting shit done time, right? And I work off that list that I created the night before. Like, you can set your clock to me. A sniper can kill me because they will know that from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., I'm sitting on that right-hand side corner of the couch with my Starbucks coffee that my wife brought me and my water, right? Like, that's how predictable my mornings are. My phone is turned on silent and pushed away from me with the screen side down because I'm human, I get tempted. I don't want to fuck with that. I don't want to see the notifications. I don't want people to interrupt with their agenda because I've got my own damn agenda. So win your mornings by having a routine.
Starbucks, man?
Yeah, it's convenient. I know. Don't judge me.
We're going to get Badger some good coffee while he's here in Tampa.
All right. Jace Acevedo wants to know when you guys will be in New York City.
As soon as Gary Vee invites us down.
Right. That was a great answer. As soon as Gary Vee invites us down. Actually, you know what? In case anyone knows Gary Vee, I've been asked to speak at a school of, so there's this group of fifth graders at the school in Queens, right? And this lady, she's a teacher, and she follows me on Instagram. And she would send me messages and says, hey, I love that post you did. And so I redacted all your F words, and then I shared your post. Yeah. And she goes, I shared your post with my students. And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking like these are like older students, like maybe business school or something, right? And then one day she sends me a direct message with a picture. She does a selfie with all these little kids behind her. I go, who are those? She goes, those are my students. They're fifth graders, and they're all immigrants just like you.
Oh, wow.
She goes, so I find that it helps when they learn from an immigrant successful person.
Yes.
I'm like, holy crap. So I said, listen, I plan on coming out to New York to speak to those kids, to your fifth grade class. Well, she goes one better. She talks to the principal. Now I'm going to be speaking to the whole school because that school is like 95% immigrants because of the demographics that it attracts. So Gary Vee being an immigrant, how great would it be if Gary Vee could just go from Manhattan to Queens there with me and speak? And I would love for you to come.
I'm in, man.
Come on,
yeah,
right?
I'm living the same life.
We teach them health. Yeah, and you're an immigrant here.
Yeah.
Exactly. We teach them health, the immigrant mindset. Like, we prep these young minds to go and crush. Like, talk about building future entrepreneurs. So, that's when we're coming to New York. But truly, so that might be, I think, it's either May or June. Joan has my schedule. But the bigger thing is this guy who wants to know when are we coming to New York, nothing rubs my hide the wrong way than when someone goes, oh, Fitness Business Summit was in California. I live all the way in Texas. When are you going to have it in Texas? Listen, people came from 19 different countries,
right. And
you can't fucking come from Texas,
right?
So if you're in New York, you really want the help bad enough, you fly to New Zealand to see me. You don't have to wait for me to come out.
For my camps here in Tampa, we get people that email from Orlando, which is an hour away, and they go, hey, man, when are you having a camp in Orlando? I get people that used to come from New Zealand, Australia, South America, like all over Europe,
right?
every time.
Don't you just want to check their IP address, show up, and then choke them?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like, or is that just me?
Yeah.
All right, Bedros, how can I start marketing my my person-to-person PT business on Facebook and Instagram?
Well, the fastest thing this person can do, they should only focus on Facebook right now, not Instagram. And the fastest thing they can do right now is start building the know, like, and trust factor. And so they need to start creating content videos and position themselves as a local fitness expert by creating content videos on nutrition, workouts. Bring a client who's lost 30 pounds in front of the camera and go, hey, this is Susan, and her and I are gonna show you the top three exercises on how to flatten your midsection, and you could do it right at home. Yeah, you're helping people do it at home, but at the end of every video, you go, and if you like the stuff that I showed you here, and you wanna get 30 pounds of fat loss like Susan here has had, why don't you just reach out to me via private message and I'll give you one or two free personal training sessions. So the problem is people want to do they want the leads without building the love, right? You got to build a know, like, love, trust factor. People will only do business with you when they know you, like you, love you, trust you. And so put out the content, position yourself as the expert, and you got to be consistent. Like, you don't just watch one episode of a show and you go, that's my favorite show. Like, you watch the entire season of Game of Thrones and then you go, I'm fucking hooked. And then you watch season after season, you go back and watch again because you've built a relationship with those characters. Same thing here, put out the content, be consistent, just like this guy's doing. He's pumping out content about muscle building better than anyone else on the planet right now, and he's the expert that I turn to. And so the know, like, and trust factor is there. So that's what this guy has to do. And then a call to action that says, hey, reach out to me and I'll give you a free private training session. And then you sell him.
Awesome. From Jose Aguirre. I'm 24, a private trainer, and making enough money to be happy, support family, and save money. It's great, but I don't know if I can train clients forever. How do I find what to do long term?
Good question, and that's a really big open-ended question. I would ask this person to go find my YouTube videos and start watching it. But right now, if he's a one-on-one trainer and he's doing well, he's taking care of his family and you know they have a good life, that's great. But sooner or later, you're gonna burn out or you're gonna get sick or you're gonna get injured, and you have to account for that. And right now, he's trading time for dollars. He needs to put himself in a position where he can be away and still be making money. So the very next thing he needs to do, if he doesn't have a gym, is to find a gym, to sign a lease in a 1,200, 1,500 square foot place and find a gym. The next thing is bring an employee or two so that you can have two more streams of income while you're training people. And ultimately, he'll build his business where he's no longer in the business, he's working on the business, and he can actually go away on vacation, he has the right to get sick, he can get injured, he can just stay at home because he wants to, like many of my coaching clients do. And that's a pretty damn good place to be.
From Sumit Sharma, she is watching us from India. She asked me to tell you
that
all of her success over the last 3 months are from your YouTube videos, so thank you.
Thank you.
And she had a question on meditation and your guys' thoughts and what type of meditation.
Oh, that's all you, bro.
You're not a meditator?
I don't meditate, no.
Start.
Okay, I will.
So when I don't, I mean, the reason I say, like, there's even recently, I haven't done it as often. The day just doesn't go as well. You know, you talk about the dominoes.
Yeah.
There's no better way. As soon as you wake up, get your unconscious mind straight. So here's the way I look at meditation. You can choose to create your conscious reality via external stimulus. So you can let the external world create your conscious reality, create your dopamine hits, create your serotonin hits. So thereby you're reacting to the external world. Mm-hmm. Or you can create it inside your own mind and then let it melt out to the outer world.
How does your morning meditation look like?
Honestly, man, for me, it's 15 to missed minimum 15 minutes, up to 60 minutes sometimes. It's the kind of thing, like, once you start a workout, I'm just gonna go for 15 minutes. Once you start, you get momentum, you get some, you know, get some dopamine, serotonin, whatever, build some momentum. So minimum, I set out to start with 15 minutes, and the first 5 minutes is just literally deep breathing. So really trying to extend my breath. So what I'm doing is I'm getting control of my autonomic nervous system. So by expanding my inhalation, I'm forcing my body or forcing my nervous system to relax, because I'm trying to increase my inhalation to the point where it's over a minute, which sounds ridiculous. Most people inhale for 7 to 10 seconds.
Wow,
but if I can
great.
Get it over a minute, I'm actually just really forcing the muscles of my rib cage to relax. So I'm calming my parasympathetic nervous system. I'm exhaling, increasing the exhalation as long as possible. Again, pulling in my my diaphragm, really trying to increase the inhalation-exhalation cycle for at least 5 minutes. So for me, it's usually 20 breaths, which doesn't sound like much, but because they're so extended,
right,
it can be over 5 minutes. And then I'm going to go into 5 minutes of trying to create the state of mind that I've wanted to create. So if it's going back to a successful situation, if it's creating some type of positive thought process in my mind, and then the third one is future pacing, right? Like trying to create that in the future. That's minimum. Like if I know I'm in a rush, I'm going to knock out that 15 minutes. But long term, sometimes it's just going to be about clearing my mind and spending more time just focusing on the breath. And then creating that stable mind. I'm trying to create a calm, responsive mind rather than a reactive mind, right? So I'm trying to learn to calm my sympathetic nervous system. So I think when we're born, we're all born with this very low state of sympathetic arousal. But when we get caught up in the day-to-day, our unconscious mind starts running. And you're getting this high state of sympathetic arousal of the nervous system. So your cortisol is going to be amplified. Your adrenaline is going to be amplified. You can't be responsive. You're always going to be anxious. You're always going to be reactive. So being able to bring down that state of sympathetic arousal, so you're just kind of living in this very, it's almost like peaceful water versus like wavy shores. To me, that is, 15 minutes is the most well-invested time of the day. And I've actually started doing it recently before bed, before sleep. So I used to be a really good sleeper. I go through phases with my sleep. When I've got, it is. I mean, you got a lot to do.
Yeah.
You got a lot on your mind. Your business is going through things. Your brain at the end of the day is doing one of these, especially if you're on your device. So lately, it's been 10 to 15 minutes right before bed as well, which just puts me in this beautiful place where I can sleep less and wake up feeling replenished and rejuvenated. So, meditation has been instrumental for me and literally day to day. If I don't do it, I feel like my day doesn't go as well.
You know what's funny is for the longest time, I've heard Craig talk about the value of meditating, but he hasn't gone so in depth about what it does and how he does it. Like, mm-hmm. You just broke it up into first 5 minutes, next 5 minutes, next 5 minutes. And after hearing you go through this, like, it just makes sense that I need to add this tool to my tool belt as well. And then as I'm thinking about, I'm going to do this first thing tomorrow morning when I wake up and before we go to the airport to fly out to California. Like, I'm not going to wait until Monday.
No.
Like, most people will wait till Monday or they go, I'm going to try this. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to add it to my tool belt and do it and get good at it. And I may not get good at it the first few times, but I'm not going to quit. And then eventually I will get good at it.
So good at it. And this is where people get stuck, right? Is they sit in a position that's uncomfortable for them. They go, God, I can't do this. It hurts my back. It hurts my legs. I get itchy. Like, my groin starts to hurt. That's why you must. Because all that is your nervous system going, hey, don't do this. Don't do this. You don't need to do this. You're good enough. That's why you need to sit there. If you can't sit in these relaxed positions, why not? It's because you have too much muscle tone, which means it's because your nervous system is over tonic, hypertonic, right? So we want to be able to calm our nervous system, calm our muscles. That's why muscles become tight, because there's too much tone in the nervous system.
Are you seated in a chair or on the floor? Where exactly are you?
It depends on your mobility, man. You got to be comfortable, right? Okay. If you're not comfortable, you're not going
to
sit.
So there is no right way to sit. There is just find your comfortable seat.
I think ideally, so for me, I'm honestly kind of always trying to challenge my comfort zone. So I always want to be just a little uncomfortable, because if I stuck a needle in your shoulder, like a pin, and I put it there, first minute you're gonna be like, get this fucking thing out of my arm,
right?
But eventually you're gonna forget it's there,
right?
And I'm doing that on purpose, right? So I'm putting myself in a position that's just a little uncomfortable so that I can actually use that as a cue to know, like, am I actually getting better at this? Because ultimately you should be able to sit on a bed of nails and sit through it,
find your zen,
and sit through it. And because ultimately it's just a manifestation of your nervous system.
Brilliant.
So that's what I'm doing.
Brilliant. Thank you.
And on that note, man, dude, so grateful to have you here, man.
Bedros
is one of my greatest friends, greatest mentors. Love this guy to death. If people want to find you, Bedros, where do they go?
Easiest place is to find me on social media, on Facebook or Instagram, just Bedros Koulian, or you can go to manup.com and find me.
Booyah. Thanks very much, guys. I hope you enjoyed this. And as always, if you enjoyed this episode of the Muscle Expert Podcast, share it with someone who's building a business. Share it with someone who could benefit from Bedros' inspirational story. And head out in September and buy this guy's book. I'm sure pre-sales are going to be available in August. Support great entrepreneurs. Support fighter jets, because the world needs more of them. And we all want to be living that life too. Have an awesome day.